It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5. With Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, we are live, which means you can chat in on the show. It's the Over Under 985 podcast, and we are in week five. Look alive, everybody. So 4 weeks down, 5 weeks into the NFL, and we have plenty of college football games today, this weekend as well, and tonight, Thursday night. So, we got Thursday night football between the Bucks and Bears. And then Houston finally plays their first game of the year as they take on Tulane. So, those are your Thursday night games. Dan, we usually give those away and we break those down first. I think we should wait a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to do that, let's call me.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's always like, oh, what a picks tonight. I just tuned in. So, we'll do that at some point. And I don't want to do 2 hours and – this week, a lot of people are like, oh, well, here's my input on what you should do. And like, okay, dude, like, we're the ones putting the time in. Again, we can't get them all right, but here we are. So a couple of things. WNBA, cash that bad boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was an easy future to cash, too. No sweat at all. 3-game sweep.
So that's that was a sweep. And the Heat series with the Lakers continues on. I'm still playing that team total. It didn't win the other night, but it's still good. It's still – I don't know. I might go back to the well on Friday night. Who knows? But I don't know if it's over yet. But, yeah, there is some money out there for those who think if the Heat have a shot, you know, 850, I think, is the odds. So that's it. Anyways, anything else that we missed? I mean, I don't really care about last week. I know you had a good week. I went 1-3 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really need to discuss that. I do know that people have asked me to discuss the cash out king thing going on. I'm going to kind of sit here and say, you know, I think we all kind of saw that coming. We all know that, you know, kind of what's going on with this kid. It's not a good situation. And I think that we'll just kind of leave it at that and we'll move on until more things are resolved. I just don't think it's kind of worth really going into it and taking up our time. Obviously, he accused me of a few things and we know that's not true now. So just in case anyone was wondering, he's in the hole quite a bit and some bad things are happening with, you know, regards to stuff. So anyways, bigger problem with actually Darren Rovell, his coverage of it and lack of coverage of it. I think Rovell is being a bitch. And, honestly, I think that if you guys follow Rovell for his, betting coverage, it's embarrassing. He's an embarrassment to the community. He doesn't do a good job. And I don't think that, he provides anything substantial. So, I actually have a bigger problem with Rovell than I do with, what's going on right now. Cause I think we all knew that. So anyways, I think that that's, all I really want to discuss on the topic is I've been asked a million times to address it this week, and I think that I just kind of want to move on. Just wanted to say that.
Just, yeah, I think one thing to add to that is, you know, we get paid to do a 2-hour show on Saturdays. you know, and I know there's some people who are like, oh, you know, you didn't really give out any picks on your podcast, or like, you know, like technically I get paid to how you just went on Revel, like it's kind of, like I don't love his betting insight either, but he gets paid to do that. RJ Bell gets paid to do what they do, and you know, they get paid to be the mouthpieces of whatever they want. They might, whether they're good or bad, they get paid for it. Just like me, whether I'm good or bad, I get paid to do these 2 hours here and these 2 hours on the weekend. So whether you like it or not, I get paid to do it.
I agree with that. I do think the difference is Revel has a really, really big following, much larger than ours.
Yeah, we're just trying to get sports betting up going here in New England and Boston.
Right. And when he legitimizes a guy like that and, you know, helps contribute to fanning the flames and kind of, you know, basically having people send their hard earned money over to this guy, and Revel, contributes to it. And then he refuses to kind of do a story being like, hey, we messed up. We covered this guy. He won a bet, but he wasn't part of a syndicate. He's not, you know, you shouldn't send your money to him, and, you know, really something simple like that. I think it's an embarrassment, and I think that Revel should be ashamed of himself for the way that he covered and the way he's acting about it. That's my honest opinion about it.
Hey, it's all good.
And
there's other guys I don't like who are doing stuff in the media, and I'm like, how's that guy get paid?
Yeah, people don't like us.
I mean, it's just one of those.
Oh yeah, no, and that's more than fair. I know that there's definitely a few guys out there who definitely do not like me, and I think that's more than fair. And you know, I don't really give a shit if you know, you guys don't like me. We appreciate you listening and listening to literally every little thing that we say. So thank you.
So all right, so we are on Twitter in Periscope. If you think it sucks, go to YouTube. Just type in, I guess, Week 5 or Over Under 95, and you'll see us live on there as well. So this one came in, Rank Your Pizza, Pleasant, Regina, St. Tigers. I'm going to save that one for Saturday, not the Saturday show, but I'll be on 9 to 11. That's a good one. So I'm going to save that one. A couple of people love those Seattle ones, Dan. Bet the house on the Giants winning against Dallas. Ooh. Do you guys like Tampa first half? All those on the table. So if the connection stinks again, you can go to YouTube.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
As well.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 98.5.
All right, I want to start here. We'll get to the college in NFL for tonight in a bit. Louisville, Georgia Tech is Friday night. It's the Friday night game this week. Louisville's going on the road. They're 5-point favorites on the road. They're 0-2 so far to start the ACC, which is surprising. They had a really good win opening week. Now they've lost two straight. Miami, they lose to Pitt. And Malik Cunningham, to me, is still good. I mean, I think he's a good player. And I think that Louisville leads in every statistical category when it comes to this matchup. I have watched Georgia Tech play at home. It was against UCF, who's a high-powered offense. I won't say Louisville is as high-powered as Georgia Tech, but they are. You know, there is that Friday night home dog feel. I just think Louisville gets this win going on the road on a Friday night. I think they're the better team. What I don't like, Dan, though, is that -5. It's kind of that dead number there. It looks like there might be rain in the forecast as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely this one's definitely one that, you know, it's pretty hard to take on. I think when you look at this, I mean, Georgia Tech, obviously that win at Florida State is not nearly as impressive as it once was. You know, even with Sims, a true freshman, not nearly as impressive. They go to our home versus UCF, score 21 points in the defense that was, you know, ravaged by Tulsa this week. And, you know, really has been for the whole season. I think even ECU put up more than that. And, that's kind of a, you know, not great look. And then on the road at Syracuse, I think they were 7-point favorites, 6-point favorites, something like that. And they lose by 17. Syracuse is not, you know, should not have been a dog in that situation. I think we did kind of discuss that. But nonetheless, Georgia Tech has not impressed me, and I do think that this is an okay bounce back spot for Louisville. That being said, they kind of look ahead to Notre Dame, which is why I really wouldn't want to be on that side either. And again, of course, Georgia Tech has to look ahead to Clemson. So it's kind of like, you know, what do I want to do here? I got to be perfectly honest with you. I don't feel great about either side. I don't feel great about a total. I think this is going to be a game that, I kind of ignore. Maybe I'll watch. Maybe an interesting, you know, game to kind of learn about the two teams. But in terms of a side, the spread at 4.5, now it's bouncing between 5 and 4.5. I think Louisville's kind of settled right now at 4.5, at least on Bookmaker. They're -110. We'll be going back to Bookmaker today. And a total in this one is 63.5. I do think that, just looking at it, that dead number of 4.5, 5, Joe, as you said, I don't know. I don't think there's anything super interesting or intriguing on this game. I think actually tonight's game has a much more intriguing spread in line than tomorrow's does.
Only thing I'll mention, and we'll move on, is the last matchup between these two. Georgia Tech won 66-31, but that was during the old Paul Johnson era. So
triple option, yep.
66-31, dude. Woof.
Well, remember, Louisville was not good, and was it Satterfield was not there. Satterfield has turned that program around. So I do think that, you know, we're kind of in a different stage of where those programs once were.
Yep. So that's the Friday night game this week. For those who are asking, we'll get that one out of the way. Saturday, what a slate in college football. Ranked teams off the bat: Florida, Texas A&M. You got Virginia Tech, North Carolina. You got the Red River. What do you call it, Dan?
The Red River Shootout. It's the Red River Shootout. I don't get it. Okay. Yeah, Red River Shootout.
Red River Shootout at noon. Oklahoma's now lost 2 in a row. So those are just the noon games off the bat, not to mention a couple others that are in there: NC State, Virginia, and then obviously the 3:30 games. Iowa State comes back after their big win last week. Auburn plays Arkansas. You have BC Pitt, which some people like. And then as the slate goes on at 7:30, you got Miami Clemson, which is the game of the day. By far, whoever I think wins that game wins the ACC.
I think Tennessee Georgia's right there, too. That's
going to say that. Tennessee Georgia will be a good game, and we'll see Notre Dame on display. They'll probably rock Florida State in that one, but who knows? There could be always a look ahead there. So, and I forgot about that. Tennessee Georgia is 3:30. Right? Both teams 2-0. Recency biased, right? Georgia's 12.5 on that one. We'll talk about it, but let's get into it. Florida, Texas A&M.
By the way, just before we get into it, Joe, I just want to, because people are asking, we're going to delay the Thursday college and NFL game a little bit, just because there's so many people who are jumping in late. And so we're gonna do a little bit of the college slate, and then maybe we'll complete the college slate, jump back to Thursday night, and then go to NFL. I don't know if that works for you, Joe, but I think that might not be a bad idea.
Perfect. And everyone's asking what I'm eating. It's a Luigi's. It's really nice. Now,
very nice.
This is all they had. But I'm a Richie's guy all day long.
Okay.
Richie's slush, number one. And it's not a yogurt. Does that look like a yogurt?
No.
Anyway. No. It just looks really small in my hand. that's really
big hands.
It's kind of like that Andre the Giant when he has a beer can in his hand, but it just looks like a little baby cam, a little can. Anyways, all right. So Florida, Texas A&M, out on Texas A&M. I know they had that big 600-yard week one or whatever it was. Then they lose last week to Arkansas. Are you kidding me? Florida's defense is going to roll on Mississippi State. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, Dan.
You mean Texas A&M?
Sorry, Texas A&M, yep. So I just don't, you know. I'm sorry. I thought it was Mississippi State. The same colors, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, they're, it's Florida at College Station.
Oh, my God.
Texas A&M. Yeah.
I got fooled by the colors. Yes. Sorry. I'm a rookie. That was a rookie mistake. Wait, we're at noon, right? On Saturday?
Saturday. Florida, Texas A&M. You might be a week ahead. I'm not sure. Although I think, yeah, Florida's playing LSU the week afterwards. So I don't know what you're looking at.
Why don't I see? Okay, here it is. Yeah. The total's at 58. Texas A&M's getting 6.5 at home. Now, this is pretty much the first true road game for Florida here. They're obviously been hot the last couple of weeks.
I think they played at Ole Miss.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that was Lane Kiffin's debut. So I believe they have played it over the true road game.
Okay, I'm all over the place today. Last year, Texas A&M won this game 19-17 the last time they played. Woof.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an ugly score, an ugly football, kind of game. But it's not totally out of the question for what we could see from a couple SEC teams in potentially bad weather. You know what I mean? Like, again, this hurricane that's coming right now is going to have an effect on these totals, right?
Yeah, I just saw that the LSU game might move to 11 o'clock, too.
So the LSU game is moving to South Carolina, so we can actually get into that. It's moved to, I believe, from what I've heard, to South Carolina, although that may now be moved back to Columbia, Missouri. I don't know kind of what the deal is there. I'll double check. But, okay, so the I guess for Saturday, it looks like it's supposed to be 91 and sunny in College Station. The rain is supposed to hit today and Friday, and so therefore I guess it's supposed to be pretty clear. I do think we are going to see some total moves based upon the weather, though. Okay, I think we've already seen it very much. If you guys have looked at the board, you've seen a lot of those games down in the southern states. The totals move quite a bit. I think we're going to end up seeing that again. Joe, let me get your thoughts on the side of the Florida A&M game.
I love Trask. I love what they're doing. I think Dan Mullen's really got it rocking here. I know Jimbo at home is not going to go out like that. Now, Isaiah Spiller's been really good for Texas A&M. He's been one of the better running backs. And we've talked about Kyle Pitts, 6 touchdowns now, what, in 2-3 games or whatever it is? So we know that the Trask-Pitts thing on offense is where it's at. And I know Spiller can run. And Kellen Mond, I believe, is still there as well. So, and I haven't really looked into his statistics. And College Station's always a tough place to play. Dude, it's going to be in the 90s that day. I don't think it will be an issue for Miami by any means. And I'm looking into it a little bit more here. Yeah, Kellen Mond is actually not really having a great year so far here.
A&M opened up with that fucking clunker against Vandy. And again, it was a season opener, but it really was a true look-ahead spot. They probably were not prepping for Vandy as much because they had Alabama week two. And obviously,
yeah, and they got smoked by Mac Jones last week. So I think Trask is going to do the same thing.
So I actually think this is going to be a bad spot for Florida. Let me kind of explain. First off, on the road at A&M, second true road game, I didn't think their defense played very well last week. They gave up 24 to South Carolina, who, again, Colin Hill is the quarterback. He was the grad transfer from Colorado State. I think he's been okay. For South Carolina, but I was not super impressed by Trask last week either. 38 points against South Carolina. I think Tennessee put up close to the same thing against that team, which is not a good sign if you're Florida, because you really need to be putting up. Yeah, Tennessee put up 31. Florida put up 38. You probably need to be putting up 40, in the mid-40s there at least. A 24-point win, I think they did not – sorry, a 14-point win, apologies. They did not cover either, so that's another thing. Now they're on the road at Texas A&M, and next week you're home versus LSU. So, yeah, it's probably not a look-ahead week, but you're probably looking at A&M and saying, well, they sucked versus Vandy at home. They were terrible versus Alabama. I think this is a pretty good spot for Texas A&M to be catching points, especially at home. I think that this is a really, really good rebound spot for them as well. I love the A&M spread. Now, I got it at 7 because it was earlier in the week. And, you know, it sucks that it's sitting at 6.5 right now. I know that, you know, Joey Tunes played a big A&M +7. I think that probably moved that off the key number there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so he was on 7 early in the week. And so that pretty sure moved that off to 6.5 because that was the move right after that. I'm going to PP A&M at 6.5, but I would love to wait to see if you can get a 7. But give me, because we're taking the lines now, Texas A&M, PP +6.5. I think that this is going to be a spot you're going to see Florida lose outright, actually. I do think that this is going to be a potential losing spot. I think that you could take a look at the A&M money line, maybe live if you want to go that route. I will not personally be betting the A&M money line, but I do think that the 7 points and, you know, this is the Texas A&M is a real live dog this week with Florida looking at LSU. And I think this is just a nice spot for A&M, especially being at home.
Woof, can't do it. Can't do it, but it makes sense of why the line's 6.5. The way that the way Texas A&M's been playing. Here's another one: ACC, Virginia Tech, North Carolina. UNC snuck out a win over BC last week. I rode the second half; it didn't work out, so that died. Howell hasn't been great, but Khalil Herbert of Virginia Tech's been a monster. Kids rushed for over 300 yards so far for V Tech. Another dead line here of 5 of UNC. The way that North Carolina is playing right now, it's kind of hard not to fetch the points of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, Howell has been disappointing. I thought their game against BC last week was disappointing. They went 26-22. And, you know, the only reason they won is because BC ended up failing that two-point conversion. It would have been a tie ball game if BC converts that. We're looking at overtime. Anything happens there. I think Virginia Tech has been pretty impressive with the lack of players they've had available due to COVID. They've been missing coaches. They've been missing 20-plus players a week in both games. I do think that what Virginia Tech has done, you know, has been impressive. Now, giving up 31 fucking points to Duke is a problem. That is a real problem. You know, Braxton Burmeister was the quarterback last week for Virginia Tech, not Hendon Hooker, even though apparently Hooker was available. And so that is something to monitor going forward.
Not to mention, Virginia Tech's missed more than 20 players because of COVID.
Yep.
They've been playing what they have here. So, like, they're dealing with an issue. And just I wanted to throw one more other thing. Last week, UNC only gave up 40 yards on the ground to BC. Nationally, they're one of the best run defenses in the country. So for Virginia Tech's back to get off like that, it's going to have a tough time against that defense.
Agreed. Now, that win versus NC State does look better than it originally did to open the season. But even a win on the road at Duke, I mean, it's, you know, not exactly a far trip or a, you know, scary place to play. So the win by 7 there is not overly impressive. Give up 31.
I think they had that, like, what, multiple overtime game. I forget. Was it last year or a couple of years ago? These two teams. And V-Tech playing at Chapel Hill, 7-1 since joining the ACC.
Yeah, so I will say UNC is down the 4, Joe. So there was a little bit of movement on Virginia Tech. It was 5 this afternoon. We're now seeing a UNC -4. The total is sitting at 59.5. I think that, I don't really have any real strong feelings about this. I have not personally watched Virginia Tech too much, to be perfectly honest with you. I did watch parts of that UNC game. I was not impressed with Howell whatsoever. I thought that BC could have easily won that game. I am a little worried. I still think at the same time, you know, North Carolina's the better team just because we're unsure of the coach's record. You know, what are they dealing with the COVID? Are they getting their coaches back? How many players are going to be out? So I think that is kind of a concern if you're a VT backer. But this is a stay away from me completely, Joe.
All right, dude. So LSU might get moved. We talked about that. I actually like LSU with whatever the points are. I think that was a hiccup week one, playing without, their best defensive back. I don't know. Last week I was kind of like, kind of fade them a little bit. No, I watched them. They look pretty good. They play Missouri this week. I don't care where the game's at. They're getting two touchdowns. I'll take the two touchdowns, man. I just think that was a wake up call for that team. And I thought Miles Brennan played much better last week.
Again, you got to remember the competition level playing Vanderbilt, compared to Mississippi State and Mike Leach, who I think is, again, an extraordinary college football coach and, especially offensively. I know they had a clunker versus Arkansas last week, but nonetheless, big letdown spots, so not a massive surprise. But LSU, huge win. They badly needed to beat Vanderbilt, 41-7. That's a good victory. Missouri has looked lackluster versus two incredibly good SEC teams in Bama and Tennessee. 12 points and 19 points respectively, and they got 13 of those points in Bama in like the final 3 minutes or whatever it was, against Bama's backup. So I am very much worried about, what Missouri can bring. I think LSU is going to be a super, super, super heavy public favorite this week. I think you're going to see the books badly need Missouri, and I think you're going to see public bettors and every, all your $100 bettors on LSU, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this one wraps up. This is probably – I would not be shocked if this was the book's biggest decision of the day, Joe.
It opened at 20. It's now down to 14.
Yeah. Well, again, let's also not forget that they flipped sites. So this was going to be played in LSU. Now it's going to be played in Columbia, Missouri. Confirmed. The spread is 14. The total in this one's 54. I think regardless of where you're leaning on this one, I think there's danger because Missouri has been incredibly poor, and LSU, despite the fact that they beat Vanderbilt and looked great last week, in my opinion, was not great either. Mm.
All right, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, a lot of these SEC games early in the day. Again, I don't really care much about this one. I know Colin Hill's been okay for South Carolina as their, as their quarterback. It's really been about their defense. They actually have a wide receiver who's really good, Shai Smith. Not sure. I actually saw him coming up in, future wide receivers or whatever, but he's decent. I don't care about this game, but South Carolina's 0-2. I think they've had a tough schedule so far. I think they're going to come out throwing the football this week and could put up some points, but it's on the road. So that's my only real thought on the game.
Yeah, again, Vanderbilt looked better week one. Again, I think it's a look-ahead spot for Texas A&M, but to lose by 5 points on the road at College Station in Texas A&M, that's really not a bad loss for this program. And again, they get blown out by LSU's coming off that shit loss to Mississippi State in their mind, and they're mad, and they put a pounding on Vandy. We don't know how good South Carolina is, Joe. We just don't. They just have not been impressive so far, and we really just don't know what this team is yet. This is going to be an interesting learning experience. The total in this one, in my opinion, has probably been weather affected. It's down to 41. The spread is Carolina minus 13.5. It does kind of feel like, again, it opened at 12. It does kind of feel like they're begging you to take South Carolina here with that 13.5, not even that full number, and they're kind of letting that sit there. So it is definitely a little shaky. I won't be touching this one, but I think, again, this is going to be another big decision for the books. They're probably going to need Vandy.
Another game we just don't care about, but we'll discuss every game. Liberty, UL Monroe. UL Monroe's been bad, 0-4, but they are 1-3 against the spread. Against a Liberty team that's come out 3-0 and looks good, open to 21, down to 19. They're at home. It's a noon game. I just feel like this is Liberty or nothing, but I'm not going to bet this one. But I don't know if you have a better take on it, but I think Liberty's come out pretty strong.
Yeah, I concur. Liberty or nothing for me and UL Monroe. They had a really nice performance against Georgia Southern last week, but I think that this is a Liberty or nothing spot. They've been very impressive the first three games of the season. Even last week, North Alabama, I know that they weren't exactly prepping as much as they could for that game, most likely because of North Alabama. But still, Yeah, Liberty or nothing, in my opinion, as well. And again, the total on that one is sitting at 61.5 now, in case you're interested in betting a total on that. I don't have any interest in betting this game.
NC State beat Pitt last week. That was an upset. Nobody saw Devin Leary in his first start, scoring that touchdown with 23 seconds left to win 30-29. Nobody saw it. Leary went 28-44 last week for 330 yards and 4 touchdowns. I wonder if they bounce back to reality a little bit for the simple fact that Virginia has a 9-game home winning streak. They've been really good at home. So, like, that's one thing I'm looking at. What else was it that I read here? And plus, this kid's going on the road now. Was the game on the road in Pitt last week? I actually have to look that up.
Yep, it was.
I was.
Yep.
Okay, so he did good in his first road start. Back-to-back road starts now for this one. NC State's better than we think. Virginia's good, man. Like, I mean, the last time these two teams met, though, NC State won 35-21. That was with a different quarterback, obviously, here. They've mixed in some pretty good quarterbacks. But Brennan Armstrong, he's the quarterback now at Virginia. He's played well. I know they're 1-1. Big ACC. It's a big game for NC State. But more than anything, Virginia winning, holding that home winning streak. I don't love the 8 number, though, at all. But I don't know, dude. NC State plays Wake Forest one week and wins. They lose the next, and then it's like they upset Virginia. It's just I can't get a read on them, but they put up points. And the total's at 659 right now.
So here's my worry with NC State. This is their third road game in a row. Third. And we talked about, Joe, you have the double road games. They're pretty much always bound to lose one.
Yep.
They lost to at Virginia Tech. They got blown out by 21 there. Now they did beat Pitt. And I told you, I thought they were going to be able to score. I lead in the over last week. I thought they were going to be able to put up some points. I didn't expect them to win outright, but I expected them to get pretty close. I think that was a game we definitely talked about and said that, we looked at the over and thought the NC State would score. I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit this week. I think Virginia loses to Clemson on the road and covers in a game that I thought Clemson would have a real chance to really blow them out. Last year, Clemson easily won and covered. This year, Brennan Armstrong was pretty impressive, especially in the second half, and, moved the ball, and they got some points, and Clemson just was not able to pull away too far. Now, they won 41-23, so – it wasn't exactly a close game, but it was not a typical Clemson over Virginia blowout. I've debated this one all week, Joe. This has kind of been one I've really been setting my sights on. I like Virginia in this spot. I do think that now we're seeing some overvaluing of NC State coming off a big win. It's a massive letdown spot, especially after two ranked games in a row versus Virginia Tech and Pitt. Yeah, I'm going to go PP. Give me Virginia -7.5. So Virginia -7.5 PP. I just think this is a really nice spot. They played pretty well last week. I'm high on Armstrong. He's looked pretty good. And I think NC State's now in the overvalued section coming off, a road win, another back-to-back road games. I am taking Virginia and the points this week.
12:30 game, Syracuse Duke. Now, Syracuse beat Duke last year 49-6. 49-6. The Duke's coming off a 38-31 loss of VTech last week. They've battled in every game, right? And David Cutliff, the coach of Duke, said he's never been 0-4 as a head coach. He was a part of that Tennessee team that started out like crap. I don't know why I'm thinking this here, but Syracuse did have a bye week. They've had some time to prepare. I still hate Tommy DeVito. I don't like anything that he does, but like Duke deserves better than 0-4 and against this Syracuse team. I don't know, man. 49-6 last year. I smell a little revenge here. But also, don't you feel like people are going to jump on Syracuse being a pick'em or round two? Like, smells funny to me. I like Duke in the spot.
Yeah, I, man, I don't really have a good grasp on this one, Joe. I don't know what type of Duke team we're going to see here. I mean, early on, you know, the kid Bryce looked great versus Notre Dame, and then they had an absolute letdown versus BC. I thought they played better versus Virginia, but again, 18-point loss. And then last week, I thought was probably their best game of the season. They lost by 7 to Virginia Tech. Again, Virginia Tech was still short staff, though, which is kind of why I don't put too much stock into it. Syracuse, you know, big win against Georgia Tech to kind of get them rolling. They have a bye week going into this one. I really don't know where to look in this one, Joe. I don't really feel comfortable taking a side, a total, by the way, which is 52.5. I don't really know what to think, but I do agree that the two does feel a little trappy-ish. But, yeah, yeah. Certainly we'll start, don't want to.
We'll bring it back up on our Saturday show, which we're on 7 to 9. On Saturday mornings. We're now hitting the 1:30 and getting into the 3:30 games. Army and the Citadel. Laugh all we want, but Army's been putting up points. Citadel, you know, they've covered this year. I see 29. I don't know if you see anything.
I pulled it up on the little app here. Let's see. Citadel. It's not up on Bookmaker
I don't see a line either with Central Arkansas.
It is 29 with
So 20. I mean, Army, the way they put up points, it's kind of like, how do you stay away from that one? But the Citadel, man, they've hung in there. They got a decent quarterback. And I'll just bring this one up because while we're at it, Central Arkansas, Arkansas State. I don't see a line for that one either. But Central Arkansas has been a very good team against the spread.
Yeah, Arkansas State should be pretty fucking pissed. They got smoked by Coastal Carolina last week, Joe. The Chanticleers, your boys, Coastal Carolina, Joe, they absolutely put the ass whooping on Arkansas State, 52-23. It wasn't even close after the first half. Central Arkansas had a big game at North Dakota State, loses. They did cover. They covered, but obviously lost that game. I don't think this is a game you really need to get deep into, but I do think that Arkansas State has a chance to put a whooping on them. And now the spread, surprisingly enough, is 15.5.
Hey, we have some breaking news.
Yep.
Regarding an NFL game that means a lot to us. The Broncos have been informed that their game against the New England Patriots has been moved from Sunday to Monday night. It will be the early Monday night game.
Yep. 2 weeks in a row, primetime. Why don't we get back to it? But I think
I figured we'd just throw that out there for the people that
let me say this. I give the NFL, I thought they handled last week the situation incredibly terribly. I thought that game should not have been played. I thought that was just a dumb fucking move by the NFL. Yeah,
so again, why are they playing? I mean, at this point, why are they playing at all?
I mean, I think that they're trying to exhaust all options with the exception of adding another week, which I think is just fucking stupid. Add another week, post the Super Bowl back a week. I don't know why that's such a big deal. Apparently it is to the NFL, but you know, at least a little bit of credit to move the game back, I guess. We'll see what happens, and we'll keep you updated if we hear anything else as it's going tonight.
So. Okay, that's going to fuck up my whole day. Anyways, Pat's moved to Monday. Yep, we all see that. Thanks everybody. Okay, let's move it on. 3:30 games. Let's start it off. Tennessee, Georgia. Stetson Bennett was better than I thought. The defense of Georgia is very good. This Karis Jackson character is not so bad for Georgia. Duke can catch the football. I don't know, man. 12.5 points based off what I saw last week. Tennessee should roll. I mean, Tennessee should get rolled. But I don't know. Is there like a little something here? Like you look at these two teams, and I mean, I didn't like what Tennessee did week one. Definitely did not like that. I know that what do they see this? Yeah, 8 consecutive wins going back to last year. What was was this that I just saw here? But anyways, Tennessee had a, what, a 35-12 win last week over Missouri. Yay. Like, I'm not impressed whatsoever. I mean, unless somebody's going to beat Georgia, I don't see. I mean, they always play these. This is the 50th time these teams play it as a program. And it's pretty even, man. It comes right down to the wire normally. Remember that Josh Dobbs Hail Mary?
I think
that's the last time I think that they won in Athens, which is not long ago. But anyways, to me, I don't know. Do you think Florida and Tennessee's got a shot here?
I would probably be all over Georgia if it wasn't the fact that they have Bama next week, and I think that this is going to be one of those games where you probably can't look ahead, but you got to at least start thinking about Alabama in terms of game planning and matchups, especially offensively, because, I mean, despite the fact that Stetson Bennett looked good last week, I don't know how good he is. Tennessee, you have to feel right now, a win at South Carolina by 4 points and a home win versus Missouri. Not exactly, neither of them were dominating wins. I mean, I guess you could argue that a 23-point or 21-point win, or whatever, 23, whatever it was, over Missouri last week is dominance, but I tend to, you know, look and say Missouri's not very talented this year. I'm not sure how good they are. I worry that Tennessee is being overvalued in the spot. I would lean Georgia, but there's no way that I can possibly play it knowing that Alabama's a weekend on their schedule. If that's not Alabama, if that's, you know, someone like Kentucky or Mississippi State or something, I'm all over Georgia in the spot because defensively I think that they are going to make the quarterback of Tennessee – who, again, Jerick Guarantano, who, again, I think is a disaster at times.
I hate him.
He is a fucking trip at times. And, man, he's scary. He's a terrifying quarterback to live by. So I would be all over Georgia if not for the one simple fact with Alabama. I just can't get behind it because you don't know where you're going to get out of that team second half once they kind of get out of their scripted gameplay.
Georgia 43-14 winners last year, and I think a lot of people actually got behind Tennessee last year.
I think you're going to see some pretty even money, pretty even ticket count on this one. I think you're going to see a bunch of people back Georgia in that defense and back Tennessee and, you know, the name of Tennessee and whatever. I think you'll probably see some pretty even action in this one, Joe. Now the spread opened at 14 and it's down to 12.5. I assume that's probably somewhat of a sharp move, but I don't have any information on that. But I mean, again, this is probably going to be a pretty evenly bet game.
Okay. Just waiting for
and,
my.
And the total on that one, by the way, is super, super low. We are now at, I believe, 43. 43, excuse me, 43. So
that's what it comes down to, Dan. Is Tennessee going to score the football? And I think Georgia can put up 24 plus. I think they can put up 27. I mean, they did it against an Auburn defense, which you can say is decent. I mean, they still put up 27 against them.
And again, this is going to be a rain game. This is going to be a game in the rain where, you know, you're going to have wind, rain, et cetera, you know, affected from the potential hurricanes. So this is going to be a game that is affected by the weather, too.
I hate to go back, but did we even mention the Texas-Oklahoma game? Because I really want to break that one down on Saturday, Dan.
We did not do that game. Okay.
I would really like to break that one down on Saturday for those listening to the podcast who asked us, hey, could you speed it up a little bit and tell us, hey, Saturday? Right, I'll give you my quick preview of it. Oklahoma is 2.5-point favorites, the total 72. Oklahoma's lost two in a row, and it's been really bad. I think Spencer Rattler's good. I think the rest of his team around him stinks. And I think Joshua Moore has been very good for Texas. So if I look at the two quarterbacks, we got a matchup here. You know, I don't like the way Oklahoma has played. At least Texas puts up points. Oklahoma's not doing that this year. So that's my short takeaway of it. It's going to be played in Dallas. Oklahoma's favored. I don't know, Dan. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that we can definitely get deeper into Saturday. I would just say Texas had to basically get a miracle to beat Texas Tech, who barely beat Houston Baptist. And in my opinion, they didn't cover last week in that short spread against Kansas State. Alan Bowman was hurt, got hurt. But nonetheless, Texas Tech has not looked good. We had TCU. I had TCU last week, Joe. I told you I thought TCU would win that game outright. They did. It was 33-31. It shouldn't have been that close. TCU shot themselves in the foot. I thought Texas got lucky to score, 30 points in that game. If you're asking me who I've been more impressed with, I'm going to tell you it's actually been Oklahoma. Now, we can get into this game more Saturday because I do think this was a good one to kind of break down. But that being said, neither of these teams have obviously lived up to the expectations, and I think that this game probably is not going to be as impressive, as normal.
3:30 slate, BYU plays UTSA. BYU's been a wagon. Zach Wilson's having a year. They're running the football very well. They're 34.5-point favorites. The total, 63.5. Off the bat, I lean under right away based off that BYU defense. Again, BYU is going to be in Provo. You like UTSA, Dan? I know that like every weekend you like look at them. I know the 3-1, they've been decent against the spread. I think it spreads 35 now, actually. BYU is going to run the table this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't like UTSA, but I have been impressed. I mean, their loss at UAB, I know they lost by 8, but I actually watched part of that game. I thought UTSA got very lucky at points. I was not overly impressed, but they still found a way to do it. So you have to give them some sort of credit for that. So I kind of look at the UAB game and say, well, they covered. Should they have covered? Probably not. The spread in that was 20-21. I thought there was very much a potential they lose by, 21 or 24 points, there. So I don't give them a ton of credit, but I also can't kill them for that loss either. And BYU just demolished Louisiana Tech. I mean, BYU just looks good. I think that BYU is going to put up a 50 spot themselves, Joe. So you don't think that UTSA can put up 14 points in the total? I don't know. The 63, especially as the total, I would not be shocked if that one ends like right on the money, like 61 or 64, and it's real close to the end of the game. For me, this is a BYU or nothing spot, especially after UTSA found a way to cover last week. I think I'm going to stave off them and stave off BYU, even though I'll probably regret it afterwards. But BYU, again, not a look-ahead spot truly, but again, they face Houston on the road next week and probably their hardest, one of their two or three hardest scheduled games of the year. So it is somewhat of a lackluster look-ahead for them.
All right, I won't bet this game, but I think it'll be interesting. Iowa State, Texas Tech. We saw Iowa State beat Oklahoma last week. They look good late in the game. They have a big tight end. I thought they played pretty well, and their running backs are very good. In the last 2 weeks, Texas Tech has lost in overtime to Texas and then lost that fourth quarter lead against Kansas State. So they can put up points, but when the game's on the line, they shrink. They play Iowa State. Now, I'm curious, are they playing on a high? Could this be a letdown spot for Iowa State? Now, they did. Remember, they won week one. They lose week two again. We've seen it already this year. That Texas Tech offense is scoring 37 points per game. Like, they're very good. I'm a little nervous for Iowa State in this spot because Texas Tech has been there. They haven't been able to close it out. Now, Iowa State did beat them last year, and I know they closed it out late. I don't know. I sometimes feel let down spots after a big upset.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And the one thing we'll say that concerns me about Texas Tech is Alan Bowman, who is their quarterback, has played very well, got banged up, not sure of the status. It sounds like he's going to try to play. But again, you never really know until Saturday, so this is going to be one that you probably want to look for. Iowa State is in a real tough spot here. Coming off a big emotional win, it's definitely a letdown versus Oklahoma. And then next week, they have to look ahead on the road. Again, it's a bye, and then next week to Oklahoma State. So How much of a true look at it is this? I don't know. How much of a true letdown spot is this? It's legit. You know, this is one of those spreads that surprises you at 12.5. You're surprised it's not more. You're surprised it's not 14. That being said, the early love, Joe, from every single person that I've had to talk to about this game has been Texas Tech, Texas Tech, Texas Tech. In fact, we're seeing 71% of the money, or sorry, 71% of the tickets on Texas Tech so far, early in the week. Now, again, it's only Thursday. That will definitely even out as the week gets further. But it does kind of concern me that this is their Texas Tech is getting all sorts of love in this spot with the kind of questionable health of their quarterback. I think this is one that, despite the fact this is usually a spot and say this is probably something you got to play Texas Tech on, the questionable quarterback and Iowa getting a bye after this game does kind of concern me. I don't think this is a spot where I can back Texas Tech or Iowa State or even look at the total. Again, if I was going to look at something in this game, gun to my head, I'm going over because I think Iowa State, we saw with Brock Purdy and everyone can score. And assuming that Bowman's in, I would absolutely not play it, you know, the touch of total until Bowman is confirmed in. But, you know, gun to my head, if I had to, that's the way I would go. But I think this is a game you stay away just because of everything. And, again, it's also in Ames where there are fans, Joe.
So. Right. That's right. I don't – Troy, Texas State, I don't care. Troy, 7-point favorites. Last time I saw Troy, they basically mailed it in against BYU. And I know that Texas State played BC tough and covered. But nothing for me on that.
Yeah, I don't have a great feel on this one either. You know, Troy is off a bye because their South Alabama game got postponed last week. So, you know, how ready are they for Texas State? We don't know the Texas State quarterback situation. It's going to be Tyler Vitt. It's going to be Brady White. Who's the Memphis transfer there? Not Brady White. Blank on the quarterback's name there. But nonetheless, Brady McBride, excuse me. That's why I got confused there. So he's going to be brought Tyler Vitt and Brady McBride. Are they still in quarantine? Who's starting? What's the deal? Stay away from it. That's my suggestion.
Listen to this 4 o'clock slate. Usually you see this at 3:30, but KSU, TCU, Pitt, BC, Arkansas, Auburn, Mid Tennessee, FIU, and then Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss. Those are all 4 o'clock games.
Yep.
I think the best of them's Kansas State, TCU, if you ask me. In these situations, Dan, I lean towards the dog. And I know, you know, TCU has been okay. Kansas State had that big win, as we know, against Oklahoma. But, you know, TCU at home is always a tough spot here. TCU will have Dugan or
whatever
it is.
Yeah, Max
at quarterback. K-State's going with Will Howard, who played well against, Texas Tech last week. But he's going on the road. So, and last time they played.
I think Skylar Thompson is going to be starting this week, Joe.
Okay, all right. K-State beat TCU the last time they played. So now you switch over to play at TCU. I kind of like the points in this one, but I'm circling this game. These two teams play each other tough. And just, I don't have a read on it, but to see 9-10 points for TCU, it seems like a lot to me early. And I got to look into it more.
Yeah, the reason I actually think that TCU should probably be a double-digit favorite in this one, if not more. I think that Kansas State is a really nice win in Oklahoma, but that's probably not representative of the team they are, especially after they lost outright to Arkansas State at home to open the season. I think that's probably more around the level they are, and Oklahoma just kind of blew it. I think you saw that with Texas Tech. They were getting 2.5, or they were laying 2.5 for 3, and you know they ended up covering, but it was against Texas Tech's backup quarterback for the majority of the game. TCU is a different animal. I think Max Duggan might be one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12, if not the best quarterback in the Big 12, and I got to say, their win last week was super impressive. The problem is, again, they have a bye after this week, so it's not a true look at it, but they got Oklahoma. How ready are you going to be for Oklahoma? And it's also a letdown spot coming off that win on the road, you know, in Austin against Texas. So, gun to my head, I'm going TCU because I think they're significantly more talented. I love the quarterback, and I think the coach, Gary Patterson, is really good. But I think betting Kansas State, I think they're going to be a trendy dog this week, Joe. I do. I think this is going to be one of those, you know, trendy dogs. Ooh, I see them getting 8. I got to take that against TCU in a potential letdown. I think that's a lot. Everyone's going to say that's a lot of points, more than one, you know, basically a 1 and 2 point type game. I think TCU probably ends up covering. The total of this one is interesting to me the most. 50.5. And I say that because I assume that this is probably going to be a weather game. You know, like, cause I assume, but again, the forecast calls for Saturday, sunny skies and 91. So I don't exactly know, you know, in regards to that, but the total is super interesting sitting at 51 right now, 50.5 actually. It was a little juice to the over. So 50.5, 51's out there, it looks like. But yeah, this is certainly interesting. I wonder if this game is going to go under. I got no real read on the total, just interesting.
And some asshole told me I have a fly on my head.
there he's just fucking with you.
No, I know, but like it pisses me off. I you know, like, that man, do you ever watch American Psycho?
Yes.
With Christian Bale, and he's like, oh, you know, Genesis studio off there, whatever album. Like, he's about to, like, kill somebody, but, like, he says it in, like, this tone. That's how I feel like Pence talks. Anyways, no politics. No politics, Joe!
Please stop. Please don't do this.
What else do we have? 4 o'clock, Arkansas, Auburn. Auburn off a loss. They didn't look good. Nope. Philippi Franks. Oh, my God. Is he listening to the pod? Is he pissed?
He's fucking mad at you, dude.
I got to tell you though, I watched that game. Mississippi State blew it, dude. Costello threw 2 picks. That was all Costello sucking.
5 turnovers from Mississippi
State. Auburn is going to smash Arkansas by 2 touchdowns this week. You know what? Put it on the little PP list. Ring the fucking bell. Go ahead. Dude. They are going to smash them.
Yeah, I. So PP, yeah, in case you missed that, it's PP Auburn minus 13.5. I wholeheartedly agree, Joe. I think that Arkansas, people, that first half versus Georgia and that win last week, which Costello cost them the game, let's be fair. Threw a pick 6, 5 fucking turnovers. You can't win it. And they muffed the punt at the end. Like, you can't win a game. I don't care who you are, how talented you are, if you have 5 turnovers in games. It's almost impossible. And the fact that they only lost by 7, they were getting the ball back with 2 minutes before they fumbled. That is a minor miracle.
They were going in 3 times and turned the ball over. And on a 4th down, got stuffed because some kid ran backwards. Oh, I watched it. I watched. Sure.
I agree with your side on that one. I do. And again, the total's at 46. I think Auburn might put up some points this week, man. Like, I think they might put up some fucking points. Doesn't mean Arkansas won't. I'm just saying, I think Auburn's going to put up some points.
All right. So. Last year, BC beat Pitt 26-19. BC's at home again, off a loss last week that they played very tough. I think BC's been competitive despite the Texas State game or whatever. Pitt is projected to be a better team, right? Pickett's supposed to be this big time quarterback. Well, I think Jerkovic
is I fucked that up week one.
He's been good. I mean, he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I know BC had an injury somewhere, wide receiver, I think it was.
He's out for the season.
I just think Pitt going on the road is a disadvantage for them, obviously. And I know there probably won't be any fans there. BC getting 6, I kind of like it. I'm not going to, there's no PP action or anything. If it goes to 7, I might look at it a little bit. But I think the line is right. Pittsburgh should be favored. I just think that BC here, you know, they won last year. I think they're a better team. Pitt had that loss. So, you know, I just think BC had that one hiccup where Pitt has been inconsistent.
Yeah, I will say Pitt has to look ahead to Miami next week at Miami on the road, and they're going to be coming off Clemson, which we'll get to that game. But if that's a shellacking, look the fuck out for Miami to rebound. And then BC is on the road at Virginia Tech. So, you know, both these teams going on the road next week facing pretty good ranked teams. Here's what I'll say about this one, Joe. Pittsburgh lost last week. I thought they allowed way too many points. I think they're going to look back to getting back to their style of play. Kenny Pickett dump offs. I thought he tried to do too much last week. I watched a lot of that game. I think that they're going to try and, you know, get back to Pittsburgh football defense. And BC has been pretty poor running the ball. I wonder if they're going to have struggles moving the ball this week, Joe. To me, that is going to be BC's bugaboo this week, is can they move the fucking rock? And I am very concerned about that. I don't think Pittsburgh's a high-flying offense. I think if you were asking Pittsburgh to get into a, you know, 30-point, you know, game, they're going to lose. And I don't see that. I think this game probably should be probably closer to the 3 or 4 point spread than the 6. But I have a play in this one. It's not a side. Give me BC Pittsburgh, BC under 44.5. Under 44.5. I would ideally like to wait to see till 45 pops, but nonetheless, we gotta play the hand that's dealt right now. So 44.5, I'm going under. I think that this is your kind of classic under spot that everyone's gonna look over spot in the week, and I think you should take that 44.5 soon.
Dan, Mid Tennessee State, you are they on the list?
They covered. I mean, we talked about this game last week, Joe. I had the under as a PP, and I told you I thought Mid Tennessee State would cover. They backdoored versus Western Kentucky. Oh, but goodness gracious. I want nothing to do with this one. Nothing.
Both teams are over. Florida Nationals, like, played one game. It's like barely they've had a chance to play, you know?
They lost at Liberty.
This is a shit game. This is a shit game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I want to go back to the Mid-Tennessee State well, but, like, how can I possibly do that just watching them lose at UTSA? Troy got smoked versus Troy. Couldn't be Western Kentucky. Just pass.
Florida Atlantic plays at Southern Miss. Oh, my God, do I see a square play alert right now.
Oh, boy.
FAU's minus 2.5. I've watched Southern Miss play. They're bad.
They got their first win last week against North Texas, and they look pretty good doing it. You know what I mean? Nonetheless, Florida Atlantic got a really nice win versus Charlotte. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I can't knock that. This is a hard pass for me, dude. I got nothing in this one.
Dan, the local for that BC Pitt game is 44 total.
I know. It's 44. I got 44.5. I don't think it matters. I think 44.5 is good either way. I think this is going to be a real under game, Joey.
I know BC's trying to be a defensive team that wants to run the football or play action throw.
And they have not done a good job this year. And Pitt has the best defensive line in the country. Still, I stand
by
that.
Good point. BC had struggles running last week. I don't know how they stayed in that game, to be honest with you. Still don't.
I because UNC committed dumb penalties and they weren't disappointed. I really didn't think UNC played a very good game last week, honestly. I think they were lucky to escape with a win.
1 6 o'clock game. Temple and Navy. Normally, I would love a game like this. That slow, you know, that option style versus the, you know, the hard-hitting style of, like, a Temple team. The last time the two teams played a couple years ago, Temple won 24-17. Temple's been dealing with COVID issues as well. We know the way that Navy has played this year. Air Force was a fucking wagon last week, and you were all over that one.
Yeah, I thought that was the one of the worst spreads of the week.
So, I mean, I feel like Temple's the better team here. I think Navy's just down this year. I don't know.
So, again, Temple hasn't played a game yet. And we talked about this, you and I, this morning, Joe, right? We talked about how teams that, you know, haven't played and whatever, it's kind of scary. There was a stat, and I'm going to try and pull it up earlier. Okay, this is from Brad Powers, who I respect as pretty good, you know, insight into college football. Having a game under your belt, and again, I'm reading it word for word, so this is plagiarizing, putting it right here, okay? Having a game under your belt is not an advantage. It's actually a disadvantage because your opponent has game film on you. Since 2000, college football teams playing the second game of the season versus teams playing the first game of the season are 42% against the spread. This year, 13-4-1 in games who are in, for teams who are playing their second game of the season versus teams playing their first game of the season.
So what is it, first game of the season again?
For Navy?
You know, just explain how this means for Temple.
Okay, so teams that have not played a game this year, okay, who are playing their first game, are 14-3-1 against the spread and are plus 7.5 points per game, meaning they cover routinely by 7.5 points per game.
So, just quickly, there's two teams that fall into that category. Temple and Houston.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. So those would be the two teams. Now, Temple is scary because everyone's going to be super down on Navy after last week, right?
Yeah, imagine stopping an option after, you know, however many weeks of, like, barely being able to practice, and now you got to stop the option. But I thought that with BYU, too, though. So.
Well, me, too. And, again, Navy got their dicks kicked in by Air Force. So usually this would be a spot where I'd say, okay, I'm going to fade that trend. I'm going to go with Navy. But no way. This is a game I highly suggest you stay away from. I think you're going to see a ton of people on the under and a ton of people on Temple. And I feel like at least one of those sides is going to get burned, if not both. So, yeah, Navy got their asses kicked, for those wondering. 40-7 last week by Air Force. Just fucking wrecked. They were 7-point favorites.
Okay. Alabama! Whoa, Nelly! Guess who they're taking on this week?
Oh, I know. They're playing taking on one Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi, Joe.
Whoa, Nelly! We got a game runner from the sophomore, junior, Mac Jones. Trying to do, I'm Keith Jackson. They might score 50. The line's 23.5 right now. I mean, the total's 69. We can always go over on that.
So
Alabama is gonna, you talk about dicks kicking in. They're gonna like kick in fucking assholes too. You know what I mean? Like, they, I could be wrong here, but
so here's the one thing.
I know they're going on the road. I know.
It's not even that. Next week is Georgia, and the week after is Tennessee on the road. And this is, I know. Let's talk about the Lane Kiffin-Saban relationship. Do you think that Saban fucking despises Lane Kiffin?
Yes. Remember he mentioned it in the Bill Belichick, Nick Saban thing?
Yep.
Like, we don't do that kind of stuff, is what he said regarding Lane Kiffin.
Yep, I do. So I think that there is a chance that Bama's supremely focused on Mississippi. At the same time, I think there's a chance that Saban says, fuck this. Fuck this guy.
Ole Miss has given up 51 to Florida and 41 to Kentucky. They're giving up 60 to Alabama.
But they've scored 35 and 42.
Not against Alabama.
But they scored against Florida. And aren't you super high on Florida?
I know.
Okay, so again,
they beat 59 to 31 last year. And like, maybe that was with Tua. Actually, I got to find out when that date was.
Again, Bama.
It was September. Okay, yeah, it was Tua.
So Bama, I think, is 23 points now. Okay, we've seen a small move.
Alabama, Keith Jackson.
Are you PPing that?
Not yet.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So
Mac Jones.
I want nothing, and I mean nothing to do with this fucking game. Nothing, because I don't know. I don't know what type of
And there might be that. What I'm already looking at that angle, right? Like, you know, could he want to ease up on the guy because Ole Miss is now in the East? Can you believe this guy left and now is in the same conference as Alabama? What balls on this guy? I will say Matt Corral's been pretty good.
Yep, John Reese Plumlee. I mean, they're mixing the quarterbacks very well. I like what they're doing and with Ole Miss.
Keith Jackson, here signing off from Alabama.
By the way, we have some more NFL breaking news, Joe.
I saw it. Is it the Bills stuff?
So the Titans-Bills game, which was scheduled for Sunday, obviously with all the Titans stuff, is being moved to Tuesday at 6 p.m. And the Bills-Chiefs game, which was scheduled for Thursday, is now being moved to Sunday. So
we don't have Thursday night football next week?
We, as far as I know, we don't have Thursday night football next week. Now,
that kind of sucks.
That could change. Again, the NFL's fucking moving these games around every day. So that could easily change. But I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, what do we have a Thursday night football game next? We better have a Thursday night football college game next week.
I will look for you while you move on to the next.
Okay. All right. And we're moving along, Dan.
We are.
Moving right along. We're trying not to do a two-hour podcast. People think we yammer too much. And there's a lot of games we're still going to discuss on Saturdays.
Mostly my fault.
6 o'clock games. Yes, yeah, so we did Navy. We got we're going into the 7 o'clock slate now.
We did Bama. We actually missed the 7 o'clock game, by the way.
We haven't done East Carolina, South Florida yet.
Yes.
South Florida's favored? No way. No.
Can you believe that? By the way, we have a Wednesday and Thursday night game next week. So
college? Yeah.
Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Lafayette. Well, that's Wednesday.
That's my team.
And Georgia State, Arkansas State next Thursday. So a couple of good games there. Dude, when I saw the spread, I could not fucking believe it. South Florida coming off Cincinnati, who, by the way, I had the under in that game. It was not the NFL under for those questioning that. I had the college football under Cincinnati, just for those who couldn't get that correct for whatever reason. The under in that game, that one easily won. It was 28-7. Cincinnati, okay, who is, in my opinion, the most overrated fucking football team in the country by far. It's not even close. Luke Fickell and that team, they have a nice defense. Desmond Ridder sucks. Let's just call it out.
Oh, you're not a Ridder fan, huh?
That kid was not good. He has not been good all season, okay? And I think that South Florida win, it was 28-7. It got close there. They got like 21 points in like 3 minutes. ECU has not been good, okay? 51-28 loss versus UCF. Now, they were in that game for a while. They ended up backdoor and covering that. But they were in that game. They got crushed by Georgia State at Georgia State by 20. Nonetheless, South Florida's a fucking favorite? A favorite?
Ouch.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. PP, Eastern Carolina, ECU, the 4.5. Give me the fucking 4.5. What are you doing? And again, this one baffled me even more, Joe. Okay? Right now, 82% of the bet, 82. South Florida, 82% of the fucking – what are we doing, people? South Florida, that team is horrendous. And Holton Ahrens is a returning quarterback who's played well at times. They face two really good teams. Georgia State is underrated. South Florida.
You know what it is, right?
Oh, Jesus.
South Florida won this game 45-20 last year.
Good for them.
That's what I'm saying. People think that the team's American.
Well, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't. Now, the total's interesting in this one, too. I don't want to go too long in this game. The total is interesting in this one. The total's low, in my opinion. It's down to 55. And, I don't know if that's, super because of the weather. I know it's supposed to rain Saturday. The wind's not supposed to be crazy. It's like 9 miles an hour or whatever. Still, you should expect some points, but you don't touch the total. But yeah, it's crazy that South Florida is a favorite. Crazy.
All right, we got six games to go. We'll go over the Thursday night slate coming up, and then the NFL slate. As there's been some changes, we don't have any lines yet. Maybe they've come out already. So, starting with Louisiana Tech, 2-1, they're 14-point favorites to take it on UTEP. UTEP's a pain in my ass. I can't figure them out. They're getting two touchdowns, and I feel like that's good.
So you like UTEP?
Well, I don't like UTEP. I just, they're getting two touchdowns.
La Tech is coming off the dick kicking that they got from BYU, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right. And they did not look good.
No, they did not. And They do have Marshall next week. It's at home, but still.
Ooh, like, look ahead.
That's like one of the, that is probably one of the best, if not the best, Conference USA team, you know. And then UTEP, they're facing Southern Miss, so it's not like a look ahead spot. I don't know. This is a La Tech or nothing, and I want the nothing. So give me the nothing, but La Tech 14. So. Okay.
I got one for you here, and I'm not gonna. I'm waiting on Saturday to make my pick. But I early on, I made the rookie mistake of mixing up the colors of Mississippi State and Texas A&M, and I apologize. But your team, Dan, your team, Kentucky,
my team.
Oh, is God. Taking on Mississippi State. They're not going 0-3. They're not. They're not going to start 0-3. Now, Mike Leach, I believe, is from Kentucky. There's some mix there. Costello was not good last week. He cost him the win. I mean, I don't know. I watched Bo Nix really. I mean, when he threw downfield, he did well against Kentucky. So maybe that was part of the game plan. God, I feel like Kentucky's not going 0-3. They're not going 0-3.
Opened as 3-point favorites, down the 2.
They're not total, going 0-3, Dan.
Total sitting at 57.5. Kentucky has been the most disappointing team in the country to me so far.
Worse than Florida State?
Yeah. I did not expect Florida State to be good. You remember we talked about this, and I said their offensive line might be the worst in the country when we talked about the preview pod. I did not expect Florida State to be good. I didn't expect them to be in the game with Jacksonville State, but I did not expect them to be good. Kentucky outplayed Auburn, lost by 16. Outplayed Ole Miss, loses in overtime on a missed extra point. They're the most frustrating team in the country, and you can't back them. It's impossible to back them. That being said, Mississippi State has to look into A&M next week and in Alabama in 2 weeks after that. Pass. I want nothing to do with it. Kentucky has to look at Tennessee and then Georgia. Nope. No, thank you. I'll pass on this fucking game. I'll just watch and sit there and see how Kentucky loses this game this week. That's all.
I'll tell you this much. There's just so many other games in this time slot. You know, Florida State, Notre Dame, I'm not sure if it needs a real discussion. The question is this. I think 21 points or 20 and a half, whatever it is valid. I think Florida State stinks. I've seen improvement in Notre Dame, Dan. But do they play down to an FSU or do they stomp? You know, at home, I feel like they should stomp on 7:30 at night. Ian Book, this could be like a, hey, everyone's watching Miami Clemson, but don't forget about us, number 5 in the country. And let's not forget, they're in the ACC this year. So if Miami goes down, hypothetically, and Notre Dame wins, now it's Clemson Notre Dame for the ACC. And does Notre Dame play Miami? I don't know. I'll have to look at the schedule at some point. But like this is a huge, huge game for Notre Dame, not only to win, but I think win convincingly. Because Miami Clemson, I'm already going to tell you right now. I mean, I'm on Clemson. Okay, I'm already on Clemson. But to me, like, this is a huge game for Notre Dame. They need to make a big showing because if Miami goes down, Notre Dame is the only team that can compete with Clemson.
I think you're forgetting UNC. I think UNC, again, I don't think they were good. I've been disappointed.
They're the Cinderella. Like, they're the team that, like, hey, let's not forget about us. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. So Notre Dame does not take on Miami. They do face Clemson and are at North Carolina.
So that's what I'm saying. They're the only, after Miami, that's it. So Notre Dame needs to crush Florida State.
Florida State, to me, the worst team in the ACC. Maybe I would hear an argument for Duke. Maybe. Outside of that, there's no one remotely as bad as them. Can't think of it. They were getting, again, I know they won. I know they won convincingly. They won, like, what, 17 versus Jacksonville State, whatever. They were getting their asses kicked in the first half of that game. Any decent, half-decent FBS team puts away Florida State. And that's why that Georgia Tech win by Georgia Tech no longer looks as good as it does. I fear for what could happen in this game. I would not be shocked if Florida State gets 2 touchdowns in the final 5 minutes, backdoors this game, and everyone is losing their fucking mind about how Notre Dame just blew the cover because it's 20.5, right? And everyone's losing their shit. And I do not know, or they could lose by 90. They could legitimately get their doors blown off. I don't know, but what I do know is Florida State is the worst. They are the worst team in the ACC. I think you can make an argument for Duke, and I think we'll find that out last week of the season because they're at Duke. But that is it. I don't think there's a single other team in the ACC who's remotely as bad as them. They are terrible.
Okay, I don't know what this guy's trying to say. Clemson and Notre Dame would be worse than Miami, but whatever. Okay, so we mentioned Notre Dame. There's two other 7:30. There's one more. Two other 7:30. Let's just do it. Miami Clemson. Okay. This is a good match. It's a good matchup. It's a good match. You have two quarterbacks that are probably going pro. Well, I shouldn't say probably. Trevor Lawrence going pro. De'Arik King could. I don't know if he's a good passer. I think Lamar Jackson was a better prospect. Whatever. De'Arik King is a Heisman candidate. He's turned this program around. He has. We've seen it for years, right? When it comes to Houston or now. The Miami defensive line's better. Their offensive line has issues still, but they still have playmakers at running back, receiver. Like, they still all have, they have all those skill positions. You know what I mean?
They have the talent, yeah.
Clemson, though, to me, like, this is a game where I know they started out slow, but last week they took care of business against Virginia. Like, they look like they're back on track, you know? Two touchdowns against the Miami team. The only thing that scares me is a backdoor cover. Like, could they be up 21 and then, you know, a little backdoor comes in? Absolutely. To me, this is Clemson. Clemson owns ACC opponents. They do. But dude, do you know what the last two meetings between these two teams are? Clemson has won 49-3 the last two meetings.
Yeah, again, but you're kind of going against your earlier point where it doesn't really matter what they've done in the past because De'Arik King has kind of transformed this program.
You're right. That's the point. And these two did meet in the SEC ACC championship a couple of years ago, and Clemson smoked them by more than two touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think, can the Clemson defense stop Miami? I think they can. And it's going to be the first time this year that Miami has faced adversity. It's in Clemson. To me, two touchdowns against Miami, I like Clemson in the spot. I'll PP it. Sure, let's do it. PP it. Now, listen, is there a team that's going to beat Clemson this year? I don't know. Clemson obviously beat, you know, Ohio State, and I was on that one. And then I faded them with LSU. I feel like I've been pretty good when it comes to Clemson and you know, they didn't cover the first week because they didn't care. I think that they should beat Miami. I think they're a better defensive team than Miami. I think that, you know, they're a better offensive team. I don't think Miami has the pass rush to get to Lawrence and disrupt them. But do they have the playmakers to stop King? I think they do. Could there be a backdoor? Absolutely. Clemson, though, dude, look into this a little more. They're 0-3 against the spread this year.
Well, the thing is, they've been very good first half and terrible second half. And, you know, I think we saw that in the Virginia game. That second half was not very good. I thought Brennan Armstrong and Virginia played them very tight. And I was pretty impressed by the way Virginia played. I didn't think Clemson let up. I mean, obviously, they're not giving, you know, they're not throwing their entire playbook out there to win, you know, and cover late in the game. But I thought that Virginia played well. I think you have to give some credit to Virginia for playing better in that second half.
Yep.
And I do agree with you, Joe. I think this is Clemson or nothing when it comes to Miami. I think we are going to see a little bit of, oh, it's old school Miami football, De'Arik King's back, yada, yada, yada. Like, I think we're going to go and what has been impressive so far? They beat Louisville, who we're looking at now and saying, how good is that Louisville team? They lost that Pitt.
Exactly.
You know, they lost
in Miami. And I was on that Louisville team. I thought they'd win at home. Yeah. After, I just thought it was everyone's on the hype of Miami. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
I mean, I have seen Miami play well. They played well against, they responded. Louisville tried to come back. Nope. De'Arik King was the difference. And then what was the other game?
Florida State.
UAB.
And then UAB. But here's the thing. They struggled with UAB. People don't remember that. UAB was 7 minutes left, down 14, and with, you know, 4th-and-7, I think, and punted the fucking ball. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Bad coaching from UAB in that game. I thought UAB probably should have covered that game. No win, but definitely covered. And I do take a little bit away from Miami in that game. I think you're seeing a little bit of overvaluing in Miami and a little bit undervaluing with Clemson because they're now 0-3 against the spread, right? Wake Forest, you know, they let up in the second half. Citadel, they're up 49-0 in the first half, don't score a point in the second half. And in Virginia, I think they're up like 28 or 24 or something in that game. They end up winning by like 18. Like, I do think that there is absolutely a letdown factor with Clemson in the second half. And at the same time, I'd say, okay, they're putting their backups, they're doing this, you're doing that. I don't think you're getting that versus Miami. Right. I think this is a resume-building game, and I think that you're not going to see the backups. I think you're going to see if Clemson's up 21, you're seeing Trevor Lawrence staying in that game, and they're going to kick the shit out of Miami. They want a 28-0 win, or a 28-point win or whatever. You know. So to me, this is not one of those situations you really have to worry about them pulling their starters like you have in the previous game. So I agree. Clemson or nothing. I'm not – UPP'd it. I'm not going to join you on it, but I do understand where you're coming from. Not to mention, Joe, the look ahead was 16 points. And honestly, we got the pick. Let's move along. No, we're talking about the game.
It's the biggest game of the day, dude.
This is the biggest fucking game. If you don't want to listen to it,
this is like, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this, like, we could sit here and tell you Clemson could get knocked off, and they could. The way that Miami's playing, they could get knocked off. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, and we're talking about the game. This is what we do. This is the podcast. We're not just giving fucking picks. If you want fucking picks, go somewhere else. They'll give you just picks. We're breaking down the game because we think it's important to kind of analyze everything. So, whatever. Okay, Joe, we have to get
into it. We're on a damn good run, too.
We have to get into the Tulane game. It starts in 8 minutes.
All right, Dan. So, Tulane. What was that stat that you had again about Houston?
Okay, well, let me pull it up here. But basically, teams that have started, the teams that have played their first game, which, again, the perception is that they are at a massive disadvantage playing their first game of the season. That has not been the case, okay? Teams since 2000, college football teams playing their second game of the season versus teams who have not yet played, okay, are just hitting at a 42% clip. Okay, they are covering at a 42% clip, those teams that have already played. This year, teams that have not played against a team that has played, 14-3-1 with an average win of 7.7 points per game. So essentially 7.5 points per game, okay, which would tell you Houston is the side tonight. Now, here's the other thing I'll tell you on this one, okay? Houston is definitely the sharp side. Definitely the sharp side. Opened at 4.5, up to 6.5. Tulane's getting more of the tickets. Okay. The total's getting hit. It's at 58. Again, I'm not personally on Houston tonight. I worry about the Holgorsen team and the holdout from last year. Houston is disappointing. I worry about this team in general, to be honest with you, Joe. I'm not super high on this team.
Well, Tulane just lost their star running back.
They did, but they also just kicked the shit out of Southern Miss. 66 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Cameron Carroll had 7 touchdowns, whatever, in the last
game. Yeah, I mean, that's fucking ridiculous. But the fact is that I know Houston is the sharper side, absolutely. But... You know, and I think that everyone's going to want to be on Tulane, and including myself. I mean, again, I think that was the natural way that I gravitated to this morning, Joe, when we kind of discussed this game, you and I. But I don't want to touch it. I don't want to play anything in it. And the sharp side is absolutely Houston. And we're already seeing, why do I like Tulane? I like Tulane as well. There you go. So, I mean, you know, I think that you're going to have a square versus sharp, Tulane on the squares, and the sharp side end up being used. Now, squares win. Just saying.
I'm torn on this one. Holgorsen's kid is the backup in Houston. And what's it called? The kid that was the Houston quarterback, he's back. Houston is hosting Tulane here. We saw what they did last week. I'm torn because I do like Tulane, but that Navy game scared me.
By the way, Clayton Tune is the Houston quarterback. You
think? There you go. That's the kid I'm talking about. He's not bad.
Tune was honestly good at times last year, especially after King fucking up and leaves and he was not prepped at all. I thought Tune did a pretty good job filling in for. for them considering the situation.
All right, so we don't have a pick, but if we think it's very sharp on. See, I don't know why, Dim, but I kind of like feel like this is going to be like a slow start under first half, and then it opens up a little bit second half.
Yeah, I mean, the sharp side is definitely the under. Opened at 61.5, Joe. We are now down to 58 on the total. And actually, there was a sharp move on Bookmaker at 58. It went from 58 minus 115 down to 58 minus under 58 minus 117. So that is that. And again, Jack, you're talking about Houston being the square side. They're telling you to take it at 6.5 before minus 7. They opened at 4.5. So again, the line has moved 2 points towards Houston.
You know
so
what, Dan?
That's why it's not 7.
We got 4 minutes to go, right?
Yep.
Let's go under first half. My book has 28.5, and I'm putting this in. I just put it in.
So PPing that?
PP. I have under. I have the ticket if you want to see it.
Nope, I believe you. You don't need to show me the ticket.
I don't want to show you the amount either. Under 28.5.
There you go. There's your game.
So I think it's going to be slow. Slow. That's all I got for the game. That's it. Maybe a little second half wager in there. Everybody get that?
Yep.
And under again, 28.5.
And again, I will tell you that a move from 4.5 to 6.5 is not meaningless. That is incorrect. So I don't know who told you that, but that is not factually correct.
All right, we gave out a pick. Yeah, even look, there's the ticket. Can you see my
dad? I can't see it. Doesn't matter. No, I believe. We believe.
No, people don't.
There you go. So
my ticket. See under 28. See that bad boy?
There you go.
Under 28.5.
All right. So what's
let's talk about that Marshall game.
Yes, Marshall, Western Kentucky.
Dude, I'm like a huge fan of Marshall right now. I'm about to get the We Are Marshall shirt. And like, I you know, to me though, like, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I think they're going to put the old smacking to Western Kentucky.
I'm a little worried for Marshall in this one. Western Kentucky played much better in that second half last week, and I wonder if we're a little too far ahead on Marshall coming off that Appalachian State win. App State really has not looked super, super impressive, right? That they beat Marshall. Okay, I'm sorry. They lost to Marshall. Their other win is versus Eastern Kentucky, who's fucking terrible. So, like, you have one win. Now they haven't played in a week because the Rice game was postponed. I do think Western Kentucky gets a good win. We're at MTSU last week. Now, again, it's MTSU. They haven't been great, but still, you need that fucking win. I thought Tyrell Prigrome was much better, especially in that second half. I really, really thought that was a really good win for them, in my opinion. I just – the 7.5 number, 7 number, wherever you see it right now, it's 7 minus 114 on Bookmaker. That's kind of scary, right? The fact that it's 7. Now, again, it's Conference USA, so, you know, anything can happen. But, again, just saying, I would not be shocked if Western Kentucky somehow got this game. 7.5, I think, might be a line that you end up seeing on Saturday. So if you want Marshall, you got to play it soon.
All right, then there's that Charlotte game. North there. I don't care.
Okay, yeah, I'll just kind of I'll go into it a little bit on this one, and then we'll move on to the NFL. Charlotte last week, in my opinion, lost to FAU at FAU in a game they should have won. Disappointing. North Texas loses to Southern Miss, and Southern Miss is bad. I mean, real bad. So this is a game I think that you should stay away unless you really, really, really like North Texas in a bounce back spot, because I think the whole world's going to be on Charlotte in a bounce back spot here, especially. And I think that this is going to be a scary one. I would not touch it. It's not going to be something that I'm going to touch. But again, I get why you want to be on Charlotte. It's just not for me.
All right, and that's it for the college football slate. And again, don't forget, Saturday morning, 7-9. We're gonna break. I mean, look at, we're gonna do the big games. We'll do the big games. We didn't do all of them last week, and again, for those just checking in, we switched it up tonight. We've been doing 2-hour shows, so we just got right into the Friday game. We're done with the slate. We just gave you our Tulane thoughts, and I gave you a pick on the first half, so you missed it. So it was under 28.5. So let's just keep it under 4 touchdowns, everybody. And then they can do whatever they want.
Or 4 touchdowns. 4 touchdowns is fine, too.
Four touchdowns.
Or less.
It's fine with me. Nothing more than that. So let's start slow, everybody. NFL, let's get everyone caught up in what happened right now. Oh, Dan, real quick, before we do the NFL, I just wanted to bring up a couple of baseball things. Houston Astros are now in the ALCS again. They beat the A's 11-6. I didn't have that. I didn't think they could get there. But here they are, ALCS.
Miami has actually lost the series.
And Miami's out.
Yep.
So the Braves, dude, NLCS, good for them.
First time the Marlins have ever lost a playoff series, ever, in their history.
So, and if the Yankees lose tonight.
They're out.
They're out. Astros, Rays versus Braves. Like, Dan, I don't know how the Dodgers don't win it this year.
I think there's an easy way to tell you. Because Clayton Kershaw is a problem. He allowed back-to-back home runs last night. He is a problem.
Dude, so many people I saw had the Dodgers plus one and the Padres plus 1.5 last night.
Really?
It hit.
I'm surprised that they had the Padres plus 1.5.
Yeah, it hit. I mean, the Braves, interesting to me. Anyways, that's it. We'll find out what happens with the Rays. And I don't know. Would you bet Dustin May tonight at minus 165?
Nope.
Yeah, me either. So that's our little baseball minute there. And then tomorrow night is the what about, can Miami extend the series, or should we just call it a weekend?
What do you mean?
Can Miami extend the series tomorrow against the Heat?
Against the Lakers. Can they? Yes. Does the NBA really want a game 6 at this point? The ratings are so fucking bad.
Yeah.
It is embarrassing.
I saw Holly Rowe today. She got out of the bubble and she was like on a boat, like enjoying herself. So I'm interested to see like what happens once everybody's out of the boat, like what out of the bubble, like what actually happens with them.
That is fair. I can understand that.
All right, Dan. I have a ton of shit for tonight's Bucks.
We need to take a 1-minute break before we get into the NFL.
Okay.
Or like a 20-second break.
We will take a 20-second break. It's the over-under 985.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs, to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lipschatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
The Bears. Bears. The Bears, 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 the Bucks. There's the Bucks and the Bears. Who's gonna win? Who cares? Who's gonna cover the spread? And what's the total gonna be? We're gonna do that here on the podcast. We don't have a guitar. Here's the halftime entertainment. Halftime entertainment. All right, Dan. That was all I had.
That's fine.
I don't have the guitar. What do I have here? I have no instruments in this house. Nothing. Can you believe that?
Nothing? Come on, Joe.
You know, my mom's house, I have like a drum set, and I have a guitar and a bass. I have a bass. I can just like, bum, 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 bum. I can do some Van Halen jump. Bump, 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 bump. Okay. All right, Dan, we discussed this game this morning on Dutcher and Rich.
We did.
I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I am originally thinking under. Yeah, Ernesto, we'll get to the game.
Jesus.
That was the halftime show, okay?
Are we allowed to have fucking fun anymore? Or is it just fucking business? Show. Fucking tell me what pick you're on.
The other night I tried a discussion. I tried a discussion on Twitter the other night, Dan. I was like, hey, what do you guys think about the over 105 points tonight? What do you guys think? It's like, Joe, just tell us the pick. Well, you just get to it. And it's like, well, you know, let's have a conversation. You know, maybe you guys have statistics. That's why this chat would be great if people were like, you know, Joe, the Bucks on Thursday night games under Tom Brady and blah, blah, blah. And when a rainstorm comes and there's a hurricane in Cancun, this is how they play. Like, I would love those kind of statistics, Dan. Instead, we get the stuff. Who do I play? Mike Evans tonight in fantasy. Anyways. I was leaning under. Do you know that I haven't seen one person on the over tonight? I have seen nobody. And, you know, I sometimes just see cappers because they're on our Twitter, right? Like, really? I just see cappers. Yeah, over. You know, everyone's on under. Everybody's on the under.
I have not seen a single person on the under.
Oh, you haven't?
I've only seen overs.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen I just
saw somebody on the over because I think everybody was on the under.
I will tell you that I will absolutely tell you that tonight Chicago is absolutely sharp. Like, absolutely sharp.
Now listen, I gave this trends.
And it's fine. Continue.
4-12 the Bears are against the spread in 16 straight games. Pick six, Tulane.
Interesting. Interesting. This one, I'm telling you, was it on a fourth down? Yeah, fourth down in Tulane territory.
Bastards.
I'll pull up the game here.
How much time? Oh, a minute. A minute took. A minute's come by, Dan.
I have not seen that. I know we're seeing everyone everyone's on the under. I've not seen a single person on the under. So, anyways, it doesn't matter in regards to the over or the under. I don't think that really fucking matters, to be perfectly honest, because feeding the public hasn't been, you know, profitable in years. But it is, you know, an interesting tool to look at and kind of tell you. But yeah, pick six, Tulane. There's a minute 20 gone off the clock. Listen, it's early, not a great start. Doesn't mean shit. Let's see how bad the pass
was. So, stupid throw. I'm watching the game now.
Bad.
Okay, so I leaned under, and I'm like having this like change of heart. I'm having like a change of heart.
Based upon what?
I know the Bears can't score. I know they can't. I know Brady's. I've seen Brady play like these games. Like, I remember they played the Bucks a couple years ago and snuck out like a, you know, 18-12 victory or something.
Yeah, it was an ugly game. That was like the game that Gilmore got crossed up like seven times.
So I've seen these type of games.
Those are the worst jerseys I've ever seen the Patriots wear. By the way,
like there was a Thursday night game I remember years ago in the rain that went under. I'm just thinking of Brady on Thursday nights unders. I think I'm going to go with a side tonight, but let's hear your insight, Dan, and then
okay.
we'll, one.
Yeah, the way I look at this game, and I absolutely lean under. I'm not PPing it by any means, but I absolutely lean under. The way I look at this game is simple. Tampa Bay and Brady coming off a ridiculous comeback win. I think for most teams, they're facing almost any team that isn't a rookie quarterback and knows to burn the clock. I don't think Brady and Tampa pulls out the win. I think they got lucky about the coach they're facing. I don't think Anthony Lynn is a very good coach. And I don't think that, Justin Herbert is experienced enough to know to burn the clock when you're up, multiple scores. So I think that really hurt them. They were really bad in the first half of that game, Joe. Get Brady threw a pick six. They couldn't get it going offensively. Mike Evans is banged up without a doubt. Again, I know he was in and out of that last game.
Everyone's playing tonight. Everyone's playing.
That's not true. Godwin is not playing tonight.
Oh, sorry. Godwin's not. Fournette is.
Fournette's playing. That's fine. Yeah. And again, that actually, I think, helps. But Evans, again, you know he's not 100%. Scotty Miller has been off and on the injury report as well. So, I mean, you're looking at a couple of guys who that offense is banged up. Fournette's banged up. McCoy's banged up. The whole offense is banged up. The offensive line has not been good. Again, I think Brady is the sole reason that Tampa Bay is 3-1 this year. That team should be 2-2 or 1-3, and I think Tom Brady has made all the difference, and credit to him, because I think his coach is a fucking moron, and just horrendous, and I think Brady is doing the best he can. I think that, coming off an emotional win like that, you tend to kind of go back to controlling the game. You have a letdown in relative terms of speaking. The Bears with Nick Foles were extremely unimpressive last week. And I think everyone's going to say, oh, it's BDE, it's Big Dick Nick, he's going to come back. He's going to win this game. He loves killing Brady, yada, yada, yada. I still think that they have some problems moving the ball. No Tariq Cohen really hurts them. Jimmy Graham might have to be a big target for them tonight. Like that's a problem. I don't know how impressive Houston is running the ball very well right now. I don't know how impressive Chicago is. Now, Chicago has a good defense. I'd say Tampa Bay's front seven, front eight is very good. Their secondary is still trash. You can tell me all day that their secondary is their defense is so good, but their secondary is still trash. I just look at this and say, this is an under spot. Brady in the offense coming off a really good performance. Okay. And I think there's some regression there. And this is a Bears offense that has been anemic, especially with Nick Foles, especially last week, outside of that Falcons game where they scored, which is a ridiculous amount of points in a ridiculous, short period of time. So I say under, but I don't feel super strongly about it. I don't think this is a must play or anything. I just think that that's the case. And I know that the whole world is going to be on Tampa tonight. You know what I mean? The whole world's going to be on Tampa. That being said, sharp sides in the NFL, they just long-term, sharp NFL is probably the least profitable sharp sport there is. It's a square man's game, in the NFL. And, the sharp side, absolutely without a doubt tonight, is Chicago. You've seen the sharp reports coming out already on that. And I think that you're going to see a bunch of sharp tickets on Chicago.
So what do you like, Dan?
I lean under. I want nothing to do with the side. I hate both the sides because I can see an argument for both the sides. I can see a way for both the sides. And I think the 3.5-3 is pretty much right on point with where this game should probably be. So I don't like it.
They call the pass interference, and I know I get it. Houston just scored a touchdown. It's not my favorite at all. But that was a pass interference on offense, and they called it on the defensive guy. I just wanted to share that. I watched that play. So we have 14 points, Dan, in 4 minutes.
Not great, but it's fucking college football, dude. I've also seen, teams start with like 21-0 and not a single point scored for the next 30 minutes. So
yeah, I don't feel good about it.
I can understand that for sure.
I'm laughing because you know, if that one loses, there's another game tonight, and then there's more games tomorrow, whatever.
You can always
and I would just like to say that. For me, like, I know a lot of people are like, well, you pick sugar, blah, blah. Just, like, for me, it's like, all right, I'm on the next one, guys. Like, you know, like, for me, it's like, all right, whatever. Like, let's just go to the next one. That's why you don't go all in on these bets, people. Like, you just, you don't, you know. Like, you know, whatever, a couple hundred bucks, let's move on. You know, fucking that's it. It's just, that's how I rolled in.
Yep. You can always go back and do the second half.
I could bet the second half. I can bet the NFL game tonight. So, listen, I feel bad that I gave 28 and a half. So far, I feel really bad about this. But I didn't know a pick six was going to happen off the bat. And I didn't know that Houston was going to run the ball down their throat. So let's just hope that something happens. Lots of time just runs off the clock. Let's hope Tulane goes on like a really long drive and misses a field goal. How about that?
All right. Let's move on to the NFL slate.
Let's do this. I have.
Did you have a pick for this game, by the way? If you don't feel the need to.
I don't. But this morning I liked the under, and then now that I see everybody on it, dude.
Fair enough. Right now, per Sports Insights, again, shout out to them, 19,000 tickets on the game tonight, 67% of the bet on the over. So, again, which I think is shocking
to me.
Which, again, I think is, you know, kind of pretty spot on for, you know, an NFL game right now. Most people lean overs because the games have just been all going over. So,
okay. Carolina's at Atlanta. Atlanta's still winless in their favorite. Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater have been covering machines. Well, Teddy Bridgewater in particular. Why is Atlanta favored by one here, Dan?
Carolina's not really that good. I mean, I think that that's hopefully the point that they're trying to make. Listen, the Falcons have been so bad, dude. I mean, really, they have been so bad. I know the Panthers beat the Cardinals last week. This could very well be a letdown spot and kind of the spot that you kind of go through and say, well, Matt Rule's gonna, you know, fall apart here and whatever. If Atlanta doesn't win, I think this is a game that. I think this is a game that Dan Quinn has to win. Okay. Yeah. If he doesn't, I think this is it for him. Julio Jones probably not playing. Matt Ryan has to do a better job of spreading the ball and moving that team. He didn't get a single pass to Calvin Ridley last week. That's unacceptable. So I am very much concerned with Atlanta. This is a game, divisional game. They're always weird, Joe, right? Always. This is a really interesting one for me, okay? 82% of the bet on the over 53.5. 88% of the money on the under 53.5. Very interesting. So just, kind of looking at that one early on. But still, I don't know. What do you think about this one, dude? Because I don't know how to
feel. Only thing I have for a trend is the Panthers are 0-5 straight up and against the spread in the last five games versus the Falcons.
Okay.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Okay.
All right. So we'll move on. I guess we'll move on then because that game sucks. Philly, Pittsburgh, Philly. So, dude, I wanted Philly on Sunday night and I didn't touch it. But I can't bet Atlanta and I can't bet Philadelphia right now. And I also can't bet the Cardinal. There's a bunch of teams that I won't touch right now. So, Philly, again, I won't touch here. They offer straight up win, 7-point dogs. What do they see for some trendy trendies here? Anyways, what are your thoughts on this game?
I don't have a ton on this game. I really don't. Outside of the Rams blowing this team out, and I know they struggled offense. You know, I know they struggled at the end of the game to kind of control things versus Cincinnati. Philadelphia has to be not terrible, right? You would expect them to cover, but – you know, I don't know what you're going to get from Philadelphia week to week right now. I think it's really tough to kind of predict what you're going to get from them week to week. Pittsburgh at 7. The spread is pretty much stayed there all week. I think you saw 6.5 for a little bit, but for the most part, it's been 7 all week. The total is down to 44, which is interesting to me. I think that that number is a little low now. 46.5 is where it opened. I thought that number was pretty solid, pretty spot on. And now we're going maybe a little bit low. So maybe if you like, you know, the over there, you might have a little bit of value. I'm certainly not playing it. This one's really tough to me, Joe. I think that this is going to be a game where whoever executes just defensively wins. And again, Steelers are 3-0. You would expect them to continue to win and play well and yada, yada, yada. But again, there is going to be a letdown for the Steelers team at some point, and this may very well be it this week. I don't have a great feel for this one.
They've been good. They've been very good. Cincinnati-Baltimore, I like what Cincinnati's been doing. As of right now, I like the 13 points here. Joe Burrow so far is, 3-0? 4-0 against the spread in his career so far. He is playing a Baltimore defense going on the road, divisional game. So far, I lean Cincinnati, and I just these double-digit spreads I just tend to stay away from at this point. Nice punt. I have no pick on it, but as of right now, I like the double-digit points.
Let's also not forget that Lamar Jackson has not practiced a lot this week. Okay, he has been hurt, and you know that is a legitimate problem. He has not practiced at all this week. I assume that he is going to play. Schefter said he's going to play. Everyone said he's going to play. He won't be at 100%, so you know you're not sure how mobile he's going to be. I assume he'll be okay, but again, they're going to be careful about it. The total of this one's 51, Joe, and I really wonder if you take a look at this game for a second half bet. And I'm going to do more research and probably give out most of my NFL plays on Saturday. But I do think that this is one where I'm interested to see what we hear about Lamar Jackson. How healthy is he in the next few days? And, you know, kind of see, same with, you know, Joe Mixon, who looked really, really good last week, you know, but he was banged up at the end of the game. Obviously, Burrow has been banged up. You know, the Ravens, God, they won last week, right? And they I thought Haskins played pretty well against them, and I'm fucking shocked that they, you know, that they went away from Haskins so quickly, the football team. But Cincinnati gets their first big win. Now they have to go on the road to Baltimore. This is going to be a really tough game for Burrow, dude. This is going to be really, really tough. I think this is going to be a game where you can potentially see him make a bunch of mistakes, and that is a problem. And I think that's why you see a double-digit spread right now.
Okay. Jacksonville-Houston. I like Jacksonville off the top. I can't take a team that's 0-4, giving almost a touchdown. It's early on, but that's just how I feel in the divisional matchup right now. And I just I'm not back in Houston until they show me that they can win games.
I'll be looking at a total in this one. Obviously, I think that Houston, we obviously are hearing the rumors about what happened with J.J. Watt and the bust up with Bill O'Brien and the coaches being bust up with Bill O'Brien. And he basically lost the room. So I think that you're going to see at least a more positive outlook, whether it's offensively, defensively, both. I think the Houston should at least get back on the track, you know, whether that's winning the game and covering or not, but, you know, at least putting up a good performance against a divisional opponent. I'm interested to kind of go into this one a little bit further because this is actually a game I was waiting a little bit on to see what happened, trying to see what else we heard about what was going on in Houston before I dug into it. But I have an idea of where I want to go. I'll go on that one on Saturday. But what I will say is Jacksonville has been fucking phenomenal against their division so far. Beat the Colts outright. Lost to the Titans in Tennessee by 3. Okay. Then they play the Dolphins and the Bengals, and they don't cover either of those games, and they lose pretty handily. Going back now against a divisional opponent who desperately needs a win. If the Texans start 0-5, look the fuck out. But I am interested to kind of see what we learn about that Houston team the rest of this week.
Agree with you. I need to see more. Buffalo, Tennessee, we're going to do Saturday. We don't have line.
That game is now Tuesday anyways.
Yep, so that game is Saturday. Arizona last week, I couldn't figure out, man. They play the Jets, who's going with Joe Flacco. Jets are 7-point dogs at home. Dude, I'm not touching this one.
Yeah.
Wish I could tell you I liked Arizona, but.
Arizona, you know Arizona's going to be the squarest fucking side of the board.
Well, right? that's what it was last week. So I'm laying off it.
Yeah, I think Arizona's going to be the squarest fucking side on the board again this week. Two losses in a row, a bad loss to the Lions in a game. They were never in that game versus Carolina. Never. Never in that game whatsoever. And again, it looks like we have another defensive touchdown in the two-lane game. Goddamn. But yeah, Clayton Tune is just fucking big.
Did that really just happen?
Clayton Tune has been terrible so far.
Was that really a scoop and score?
That was a strip sack scoop and score. Yep. Not even a scoop and score, just fumble on the ball. Clayton Tune, what? I mean, again, this was my worry with Holgorsen. You don't know what the fuck you're going to get from this team right now.
I apologize, everybody. I apologize 1,000 times to you. I did not see this coming. If you projected this, great. I'll take the heat. I'm Joe. You suck. Joe, I'll take it. It's not over yet, but I'll take it. This one's not good. This one is like up there with like some of the bad ones up there.
Two defensive touchdowns.
And I was right. I did say they'd start sloppy, right? Oh, they did.
Two defensive touchdowns, Joe. You know what that means? You're going second half under.
Yeah, and I'll just, guys, sorry. I apologize. Not a good play. Not a good pick. Had to give you something in that. See, that's why, Dan. That's why we just can't just give shit looking at it.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I try to stay away from that even when I like stuff. Okay, that being said, Joe,
yeah.
Getting back in this Cardinals.
Let's get back on the horse. Let's do this.
Getting back in this game. The Jets are starting Joe Flacco. Darnold's not playing. Sounds like Flacco. What the fuck is going on with this team? Like, the Jets are going to lose this game, right? They're tanking. You don't start Flacco if you're trying to win ball games. That's how it is. That's I mean, seriously. You don't try to fucking win games when you're starting Joe Flacco and you have Sam Darnold, who says he can play and wants to play. To me, it sounds like the Jets are angling towards Trevor Lawrence. Sounds like to me. I could be wrong. Just what it sounds like to me. They know they suck. We know they suck. We PP'd their under at the start of the year win total. I told you this team was going to suck. Goodness gracious. I refuse to back the Jets. Absolutely refuse to. I'm not backing Arizona. Maybe we can look into the total on this one, Joe, because the total is 47, okay? I expect Flacco to give the Jets some sort of offensive boost. Some of it. Something. But nonetheless, I'm not fucking backing the New York Jets. Not doing it. Not backing the fucking, the goddamn Jets. Not doing it. All right, Joe, what do we got next?
Vegas Chiefs.
just continuously goes.
It's just the week sucks.
The week sucks. Yeah,
I mean, look, the Chiefs are like the best team in offense, best third down team. Dude, check this out. The Raiders are 4-17 straight up in their last 21 just on the road. They're 1-9 and 3-7 against the spread. The last 10 just versus the division on the road. The Chiefs numbers, dude, 13-0, 12-1 their last 13. They're 8-0 and 7-1 straight up versus divisional opponents. They're 9-2 in their last 11 overall against the spread at home. The Raiders are 0-4 the last four games on the road at Arrowhead in general. None of these favor the Raiders.
Not to mention that Patrick Mahomes may have just played the worst game I've ever seen him play. Oh, yeah. Again, that's a Bill Belichick thing. Bill Belichick knows how to do that. John Gruden is not sly enough, smart enough to be patient, not blitz, you know, be careful. Now, again, they're going to have an offensive advantage or whatever. But, yeah, this is, Joe, Kansas City and the points or nothing. Lay the points with Kansas City or nothing. You don't have to think about this one. Every week, it's just Kansas City or nothing. And even when the Patriots played them so well last week, they still covered. It doesn't matter. So Kansas City or nothing. So I look at it.
Okay. Sorry, I'm looking at more bets. sorry, everybody. All right. So we already kind of went through these, that. Now we have the, we already did the 1 o'clocks. They're all done. Oh, no, we got one more.
Yep.
Kyle Allen versus the Rams. The Rams trending downwards right now.
I mean, their offensive performance was fucking poor.
They didn't win second half last week. Yeah, because I looked at that bet and they didn't win.
To be fair, the Bills, should have lost that game. To what's called spade, the Rams should have won that game. It was absolutely not a defensive pass interference. I don't give a fuck what you say. So the Rams should probably be 4-0. Okay. That being said, Washington is an underrated 3-1. I don't understand why they went back to Kyle Allen. I am a big Kyle Allen fan. But nonetheless, it doesn't really matter if I'm a big Kyle Allen fan or not. The Redskins just they're in most of these games. The Cleveland game was not great, but the Baltimore game, you're going to get mad at them for losing to Baltimore coming off a shit loss to Kansas City. Like, come on. And the Arizona loss doesn't look great, but Arizona was hot as fuck. So I'm not going to kill them for that one either. I'm really just not. I think the Rams are getting too much love from 9.5 to 7. So you know the sharp side's going to end up being Washington. I don't know how much of that was a Kyle Allen point, you know, affection, because Allen probably still, it matters, but he's probably still better against spread than Haskins. But I still got to sit there and wonder and say, am I laying another, if this gets up to 8.5, am I laying 8.5 with the Rams again? I don't know. I don't know what to expect with Kyle Allen this week. I really don't. But I do expect Washington to at least be competitive for a good portion of this game.
Okay, that's the 1 o'clock slate. 4 o'clock's been shifted. No Patriots, Denver. Here's what I'm looking at, Dan. And I got to give you props for this Indianapolis line last week against the Bears. But that was right. That was the right side and was all day long. All day long. Indianapolis was very good.
Yep.
I feel it's the same spot here, too. Cleveland off a big win against Dallas, coming back home. You know, two teams are 3. I mean, this is just a potential playoff matchup. I just look at Indianapolis back-to-back games on the road. You know, Cleveland's a dog. Cleveland should be a dog at home. And I'll give you some of the trends here, but I feel that this is a similar spot to last week, and I like Indianapolis in this spot too. But here's the, again, I mentioned this to you. Last week was the Colts' first win on the road in a while. But the Browns, I keep fucking up. The Browns are 6-1 in the last 7 games at home straight up. The Colts are 8-1 their last 9 games versus the Browns in general.
Yeah, the Colts' defense is really good, dude. And their run D has been fantastic. The Browns were energized moving the ball on the ground. Now, I know that Nick Chubb got hurt, but the Odell Beckham run got them, you know, when they were drowning and floundering, the Odell Beckham run, the reverse, got them back into the game. The Kareem Hunt was great all game for them. Even their backup running back, whose name I'm blanking on right now, who is not Nick Chubb, and not Kareem Hunt, got some gain on the ground. The Browns it was a really good spot for the Browns, and they played really, really well. That touchdown from Landry to Beckham was fucking beautiful. There's an absolute dime from Landry. This is a different animal. The Colts are a good defensive team, and we're going to see, what kind of goes on there. Pick 'em on the road would mean that the Colts are 6-point home favorites against Cleveland. 6 points. That's a lot of fucking points. 3-point neutral site. I guess I can see that. Yeah, I think you got to go. I think you got to stick here and go Indy or nothing against a good run offense versus a good run defense and expect that Indy's going to put up a little bit more offensively than they did last week. So that's the way I look at it.
Okay, moving along here. Cowboys, Giants. Somebody in our chat earlier tonight said Giants outright. I can't bet Dallas right now. They're not right, dude. I don't know what it is. The quarterback's putting up incredible numbers. Maybe it's the defense.
It's the defense.
When I look at it, though, Dan, I don't know if it's the coach. I think things do start at the ownership level. I watch that team, man. They have talent on defense.
They do, but defensively against the run, they're poor. But this week, they're facing a team that can't fucking run the ball. So what gives?
Exactly.
So what gives? You know, is Dallas's D going to be able to overwhelm that offensive line in New York? Because New York's offensive line is fucking garbage, maybe the worst in the league. Especially when running. So I think there's a legitimate chance that Cowboys are fucking pissed. They rebound and they absolutely ruin the Giants. I think there's a legitimate chance. The look ahead line, Joe, and the opening line, 11.5. 11.5. We're down to 8. So 3.5 points in Dallas. This has got to be a bounce back spot. It's Dallas or nothing.
All right. Yeah. I don't like any of it. I don't like the line. I don't like the total. I don't like the teams. I don't like that it's Sunday. I don't like that it's 4:25. I don't like anything.
I don't like it's the Cowboys. I don't like it's the Giants.
Vikings, Seahawks.
No, all right. We gotta do the Dolphins Niners.
Oh my God.
Ooh. 4:00.
Okay, so in my pick'em league, I took the Dolphins getting 9. And it's just because I just thought that was a lot of points.
Jimmy G is back.
Jimmy G's back. Mostert is back, I think.
Yep. San Francisco coming off a loss on Sunday Night Football, rebound spot at home. Miami has to travel to the West Coast in this one. So, I don't know. If it's going to feel like a late game for Miami. So, I wonder if that has any effect on them. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this one, Joe. I think this is a really, really weird game. The fact that it's 9, too. I don't know. I'm going to pass on this one for right now.
I just think the Dolphins are like a backdoor. Like, you know, they're 4-0 against the spread the last 4 games playing on the West Coast. I just seen some like weird afternoon West Coast trends that favored the Dolphins. While like the 49ers played down to their competition, they're like 2-12-1 in their last 15 versus teams with losing records against the spread. I don't know. I just see things like that, and I'm like,
yeah, it's Garoppolo's first game back.
I will say this though, they're going to go to Tua next week if Fitzpatrick doesn't play well or help them win.
Agreed.
Or maybe they go to him in this game. I don't know if I do it versus San Fran actually. Okay. That and then my other pick'em league that I had Minnesota plus, and I had it at 8.5. I think it's 7 now. And it's just a fade of Seattle. I just think Minnesota might be able to play a little bit better. Their defense has been shit. Seattle's so good this year. It's just a fade spot, Dan. I know Seattle's good. It's just I'm not betting it. It's just that's what I took in a fade spot was Minnesota plus the points.
Yeah, I think Minnesota plus a 7.5 might be worth a look, especially on Sunday Night Football. It's a huge game for them in Seattle. You have to expect Seattle to start having some aggression at some point, right? Like we talked about this morning, but again, MVP leaders usually through 25% of the season are not the guys who end up winning the award. So I expect some regression from Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and maybe it starts this week. Minnesota had a good win on the road last week. They needed that win. It was a huge win for them, and maybe they're able to string something together.
All right, and then we have the Monday night game, right, with the –
we'll touch on the Broncos-Patriots on Saturday. There's no line. We don't know who's starting, although there has been, you know, some news that it, you know, maybe Cam Newton, if he can not test positive, we'll find out. I don't know who's starting yet.
New Orleans is giving 7.5 to the Chargers. I don't like the way Drew Brees is playing, but I thought they responded well last week after being down 14-0. They've already been on national TV. They've won. They've lost on national TV. 7.5 is right, I feel like. We know that Eckler's out. The running game is going to be tough for the Chargers. So I feel like they think Herbert's going to, you know, throw the ball up a ton. That's a game I'm going to wait until Sunday night to bet. I think the line's right. It's just what New Orleans team are you going to get? There was almost another turnover for a touchdown.
I saw that right there. Houston jumped on the ball, or Tulane jumped on the ball though. Yeah, I missed
the kick.
That one's going to be interesting. And then, you know, what Justin Herbert are you going to get? Are you going to get the guy who wants to continuously throw the ball downfield and is successful? Or are we going to see a regression against a New Orleans team who's going to get healthier and maybe a little bit better as we go forward here? So I'm interested to see.
Hopefully he had under 28 and a half first quarter in that game tonight. Unfortunately, I suck. Hey, Dan, you ever do player props?
Yep. All the time.
What do you think about Tom Brady passing yards tonight?
I'm going to say under.
265.5.
Yeah, it's going to say under. When I approach player props, I approach it with the concept of almost everyone bets overs on player props, so you should almost always go the other way on those, whatever. So, by the way, Leonard Fournette is active but is not playing, and he is an emergency option.
What the fuck does that mean?
So he will not be playing.
That dude Vaughn's been okay. That backup guy there.
Yeah. The kid out of Vanderbilt. I don't know how much we're going to see him tonight, but it sounds like he's going to get at least a little bit of play.
What time's kickoff?
Kickoff is in about 10 minutes.
All right, Dan. Any other pick we're thinking of in this game here?
No, I think that we've given up plenty today.
Should I make up for my disaster of a pick?
What
do the people think?
If you want to, do you want to make up for? If you want to go for it, I'm not personally going to do it, but feel free.
What do you people think? I don't know. What do you think here? I mean, I like first halves. Should we go under 21 and a half first half? Is that scary?
Again, when I approach the unders, right, and I see the score and then the hook, I'm looking over. So if it's a 28.5, I'm looking over. If it's a 21.5, I'm looking over. If it's a 23 or 22, maybe it's under. But the points in the hook usually, to me, is an over sign. They want you to take the under.
See, I like this. I'm too big of a coward to bet it myself, but I lean under. So I appreciate that. Oh, I'm not chasing it. Guys, yes. I'm not chasing. Trust me. I just feel bad I gave out 28.5, and he might not even make it out of the first quarter. I apologize again. I suck.
By the way, it sounds like this is going to be a 5 p.m. kickoff on Monday.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's not good for me.
Oh, goodness. All
right. Hey, you work Tuesday nights, though, right?
Yes, I do.
So you'll be able to react on everything.
I guess that's fair. So, all right, that's it, Joe. We're done.
Maybe you guys will see a halftime play from me coming up.
Yep. There you go.
All right, Dan, that's it. I'm going to download this now. It will be live. Don't forget, Saturday morning, 7 to 9. We will be we're breaking it all down. Hopefully we get a miracle. Keep it under 28.5 points. It's not happening. Just forget it.
Hold on. Miracles happen.
Let's get out of the first half first. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. We kept it almost under 215 again, Dan. Almost. I need to insulate my cardboard box. I know, guys. All right, that's it. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of Over Under 985, the podcast.
What do you got, guys? Good luck this week.
All right.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.